Hello and welcome to the 14th episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. My name is TJ Deitch. I'm your host and I also run poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com. Well, I hope everyone has been having a good week. Things have been going pretty well around here. I'm trying a few things for the actual recording of the podcast to hopefully get a better sound. It's really hot here, but I turned the air conditioning off. I've got the computer far enough away from the mic, so hopefully it's not picking up on the sounds as much, which I've noticed in the last couple episodes. I've got the washer and dryer paused, and the baby is asleep. So hopefully we're in pretty optimal conditions for recording. I keep dreaming of a day when I have an office, and I'm able to just simply go in there, close the door, maybe flip a recording switch that lights up on the wall. I don't know, something cool like that. And just doing my thing without too much, without having to worry about this stuff so much. Just having it set up somewhere. As it is, I kind of record all over the house when I can. And it works, but you know, it would be nice just have it set up and able to get at. But anyway, if you're new to the show, the Pop Papa Napcast is a place where I talk about my experiences as a parent of a two-year-old. I stay at home and I work from home as a pop culture writer, and I also take care of her. And I will say that lately it's been kind of difficult to get the work done. You know, people used to ask me all the time, is it hard concentrating on writing a story, you know, when you've got a kid around and you got to take care of him? And usually, no, it wasn't so bad. She would do her thing and I would do mine. She'd watch TV and it wouldn't be a big deal. But I've noticed lately, like this last month or so, she's been very clingy at times. And then at other times, she wants nothing to do with me. But during the clingy times, it's almost always when I'm super busy or really need to get something done. For a long time, I worked mostly off the couch. We've got a coffee table here. It's where I'm recording right now. And it works out well enough. It's probably not great for my back. I've got like a back pillow here somewhere, and I've got a lap desk, and I kind of do stuff that way. But after working on a couch for so long, and I've been doing this almost 4 years, it'll be 4 years this fall, I've actually kind of started to miss having an office. That, you know, when I mentioned being able to go in and record somewhere, that would be my office. I dream of having an office where I've got my bookshelves filled with all my trades and books, because in my mind they're research material. And I'd have a desk and a computer, and I'd be able to go in there and write and do my work. And hopefully in the future I will be writing creative projects like, you know, books or comics or movies, that kind of thing. Not just writing about those things, which I do enjoy, but I mean, I want to be a creator as well as a writer of things, I guess. So in the past few months, I've been trying to make a point to sit at the dining room table. Now, I mean, this whole room that I'm talking about, these areas, it's all one big open area. The dining room is like right behind the couch. I'm still in the same room. I can see her if she's watching TV, that kind of thing. And the table is actually, the chairs are benches and they form an L, and then we've got the table. So I just sit at one end where I can see everything. And I do my writing. So I'll be working and she'll want to come up. It's not a big deal if she wants to sit on my lap, but she never just wants to sit on my lap. She wants to either sit on my lap and mess with the keyboard or touch a pen and paper that I've got nearby or hit the mouse or the trackpad or something along those lines. Or she just wants to sit there for a second or just like wiggle and wriggle and just do nothing that is conducive to me writing. So that's been kind of a tough thing this week, the last couple weeks really. You know, she'll be watching her movies or shows or whatever, and then all of a sudden she'll just get it in her mind that she needs to sit with me, do it for 2 seconds, and then go back to the movie. And that's actually kind of been a pattern with her movies even lately. Like, she hasn't been wanting to watch her normal shows. The last couple days, she didn't want to watch Sesame Street, and she didn't really want to watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or any of the other Disney shows, and she was all about wanting to watch movies. Her main ones are still Princess and the Frog, Peter Pan, Cinderella, and a new addition that I'm going to talk about a little bit later is My Neighbor Totoro, which I got a review copy of for the new Blu-ray that just came out. And there's a couple other things. My Aunt Christy and her husband Eric and their kids sent Lucy a tea set, a Disney tea set, along with a Disney Princesses DVD. So if you're listening, thank you very much for that. I don't believe we sent a thank you note. I apologize. But she loves this video. We just started showing it to her. I kind of keep things out, but stacked up, like all of her DVDs are in a stack, so she kind of like will find them eventually and be like, oh, princesses. So it kind of like spreads it out a little bit more, especially when she's so focused on one thing. It's hard to get her to watch anything new, but if she sees it and wants to watch it, like, she's all over it. I mentioned last week or the week before how she was really into the Goofy movie. She loved Goofy movie. I picked up Goof Troop, which is the TV show that the movie was based on from the 90s. I got a DVD of it. There's like four or five episodes on there. I got it for $5 on Amazon. I linked to it in the show notes for whatever episode I talked about the Goofy movie in detail on. And she's just had no interest. I put it in one time, and I was like, hey, we're going to watch this. Check it out. It's cool. And she freaked out and wanted to watch something. Oh, Brave is another one that we still watch, like, constantly, and the Toy Story movies as well. She wanted to watch this other thing. She's really single-minded. But with Totoro, I literally sat there and held her while she screamed at me, telling me she wanted to watch Brave or something else during the opening credits and then the first few minutes. But at a certain point, I think that she realized that it was about a little kid, you know, a couple years older than her, but still pretty little. And then she got into it. And since then, and we're only talking 4 or 5 days ago, we've probably watched it 6 times. I mean, she loves this movie now. So I don't know what it is. I tried showing her Pocahontas this morning because Pocahontas is in the Princess Tea Party video. And that's like a sing-along thing with all the different princesses. So she's seen a lot of princesses that aren't necessarily in the regular rotation, like Pocahontas is in there, and Belle and Little Mermaid and all these other guys that she's not really shown any interest in watching. So I was like, let's try Pocahontas. I mean, that's one that I don't know at all. I think I've seen it once. But just to mix up the pattern of shapes and colors in the living room while I'm working would have been nice. But man, 10 minutes in and she was calling for something else. And so I turned it off and that was that. So yeah, I don't know what the deal is. Maybe she's having a massive shift in what she wants to watch. Maybe it's just that, you know, she likes watching movies or something. Most of the ones that she watches are in Blu-ray, which definitely look better. None of our HD channels work because the building we live in is super old and the cable sucks. So maybe it's like that brightness and that like clarity that she really likes more than regular television. But yeah, it's been strange. You know, Minnie and Mickey, nothing. Like, we watched a little bit today and a little bit every other kind of day. And Sesame Street was more popular last week, but this week she was like, nope, I want to watch a movie. So it's interesting to kind of watch her grow and develop. I would really like it if she got back into television a little bit, at least, just because it mixes things up more. I mean, watching the same, even 10 movies over and over and over again in a week is going to probably drive me a little crazy, unless she starts watching movies that I like. But even then, I think I'd get sick of them because that's just way too much. So I guess that's kind of a TV talk segment that I didn't really label in the beginning, which kind of brings us into the more positive side, the What's New with Lou section of the show. She has learned to say I love you, which is about the best thing in the whole world. She said it to my wife a few times before she said it to me, and still every single time she does it, you know, it makes my, you know, my heart beat and my my soul soar, whatever you want to say. It's pretty fantastic. And it reminds me of advice that one of the guys that I used to talk to who works at a toy company when I was at Toy Fair, and I still talk to him every now and then, but not nearly as much. And he's got 2 kids, I think, and he said to me, you know, it's a lot of hard work in the beginning and all that stuff, but, you know, you get to that first part where they smile at you and that's great, and then after a little bit, they can talk to you and they say dada and all that's great, and then eventually, you know, when they learn to say I love you, that's really, you know, that's really a killer. And it is, man. It's so great. And she says it a lot, which is also fantastic and I enjoy quite a bit. Now she says it to both her mom and I, and I mean some of her stuffed animals and the cat and all this stuff. So it's cool. I think she's getting the concept. You know, hugs and kisses have been in the repertoire for quite a while. So all that's been great. Another thing that she's been starting to say that really cracks me up and is a really, really close second to I love you, which might sound kind of funny, is that she'll go, don't worry, Dad, I got you. Or I got this. Either one. She kind of mixes it up. And I was like, where did this come from? And I realized I say that all the time. Like, don't worry, Lou, I got you. When, you know, she's asking for something or looking scared or anything like that, I'm like, I got you, kid. Don't worry about it. And so she's apparently picked that one up. And I forget, there's been a lot of things that she's been parroting lately. And it made me realize that having a 2-year-old is kind of like having a living tape recorder or a parrot that will just start saying the things you say in like a funny voice at any time. I accidentally said, damn it, the other day after I hit myself or something happened, and she just repeated it like 10 times, and we really had to try hard not to laugh too much or freak out about it, because, I mean, she doesn't know what she's saying. And I feel like swear words, obviously, you know, you don't want your kid running around swearing, even though it's pretty funny and cute, I have to say. But I feel like if you don't make a big deal about it, they're going to just think it's like any other word, unless it becomes a problem and they start using it all the time. But I try to be really good about not swearing, but it was just one of those things that were popped out. So yeah, it's like having, when we were kids, there was a toy called the Talk Boy, and there was a Talk Girl too, and it was in Home Alone 2, I think, and then they sold a bunch of them too, where it was like a tape recorder with a little microphone that stuck out, and I think you could tape onto a cassette tape, that's the generation we're talking about here, and then you could like play it back, but it would go fast or slow, and so it'd be like, like slow down or sped up like a chipmunk, and so that's kind of what having the kid is like. She just walks around saying the things you say. It's pretty funny. Luckily, we say pretty good stuff for the most part, and so it's G-rated. But then it's also fun to watch like her shows with her sometimes. Like I've said before plenty of times, I kind of zone out on whatever she has. Since I'm sitting kind of far away, I'll listen to a podcast and focus on my work, and then I don't really have to, you know, watch Toy Story 2 1,000 times. But every now and then I will kind of focus on what's going on, and I'll realize that one or two of the things that she has picked up, where we're like, where did she get that? Like, you'll see it in the show or one of the movies or that kind of thing. So that's pretty funny. Another thing that's new with Lou is that she has rediscovered the pool that's part of our condo complex. The way this whole area that we're in right now is set up is that it's like one big condo area with several, like 20 or 25 buildings, but they're broken up into two sections that you can't really discern from walking around. It's just like a financial thing and like who invested in them when they were built and all that kind of stuff. There's Continental Manor 1, which is the building we're in, and like three or four others, and then everything else is Continental Manor 2. Together, the two organizations share a pool. You know, it's not really something I use. I don't really like being out near strangers with my shirt off. That's just something I'm not a big fan of. Plus, the idea, community pools, I don't know. Growing up, you know, I had friends with pools, and I would swim there, and we would swim in lakes, and just community pools weren't really a part of, you know, my growing up. But it's kind of a bigger thing around here. There's one in Cornwall, the town we want to move to. And there's one here and all this stuff. And it's not bad or anything, but I don't know. I just get a little skeeved out. I've gotten much more germophobic in my older years, I've noticed. And I don't really know why. It's not like I came down with anything. But I find myself a lot more leery of places where a lot of people can be and passing germs around. But my wife does not share my crazy neuroses. So she took Lucy over to the pool the other day. And she was really into it. I wasn't feeling good. I was tired. It was Saturday. That was the day I got up early with Lucy. So I just kind of hung out in the house while she went out to the pool with her. She was really into it, and she did not want to leave, as anyone in like a mile radius would have known, as she screamed when we took her away. Because I did go, I took the trash out, and I went over to see how they were doing and picked her up and wound up coming inside and then going back out to the playground, which is back there, but man, it's super rusty and gross. And a few times Em would want to go to the park in Cornwall, and I'm like, oh, let's just go to the one back there. It's there, it's fine, we'll use it. But after playing on it this time, I was like, ugh, I don't want the kid to get tetanus because I'm too lazy to drive 10 minutes to a better park that has more kids. So we did that, and then yesterday, we all three of us went to the pool. And it was fine. I mean, actually, one of our neighbors from the building was over there, so Lucy was kind of talking to his kid, who's probably like 14 or 15 or something like that. So it was kind of neat. You know, we don't really have much a sense of community here. Even from what I can tell, like the only people that really seem to talk to each other outside are the smokers, because they're out there at various times. There's 20 units in our building. It doesn't really seem like anybody's like close. You don't see, you know, people from one unit going over to the houses of anybody else and like hanging out. It's really all outside stuff, which is fine. I mean, it would be nice to have a little bit more of a sense of community, and that's really what we want in moving to Cornwall, because it's very much like a small town where, you know, people seem to get invested in the schools and the community and the politics and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, being in a neighborhood and all that, which is cool and something we want, but it just doesn't seem to be the kind of thing that most of the people in our building are interested in. Plus, to be honest, we're fairly antisocial. My wife and I are both kind of nervous around strangers and don't necessarily like start up conversations at random. So it was nice to just kind of talk for a little bit with the neighbors. We actually, another neighbor, this is another kind of what's new with Lou thing. She loves playing with other kids, as I've said. And there's a kid who's probably about 10. And I came home from picking my car up from the shop, which luckily just needed a new battery. Lucy and my wife were still outside, and she was playing with this little boy. And it was so cute, because he's running around and throwing this ball, and she's like, wait, wait. And, you know, anytime he'd fall over, he's kind of throwing himself all around. And she was like, you okay? You okay? And that's actually when the idea of the, like, little kid being a recorder, playing back everything you say in a different time, an effect came to my mind, because I was like, oh my gosh, it's like seeing everything I do siphon through a tiny little adorable girl who sounds way cuter than I've ever been. And it's just really funny. I guess I ask if she's okay a lot from the way she talks to other people. but yeah, it was neat to see her playing. So maybe there is a little bit more of a community thing going on. I mean, we're still hoping to get to Cornwall fairly soon, definitely before she goes to school, because they've got really good schools over there and we want to take advantage. Where we are isn't terrible, but we'd like to be able to get her into the school system and just have her be in there and not have to move around if possible. But, you know, that's all in the future, and we shall see, I guess. One thing I mentioned last episode that I don't think I fully explained, because Lucy actually started singing, which was awesome, was Dream is a Wish. And again, that's Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes, the song from Cinderella, one of her favorite movies. What she likes to do during that, in addition to singing it, I started picking her up and holding her like we were ballroom dancing. And so I just kind of swing her around. I kind of know how to dance. I did musicals in high school. And so there's still some of that movement in me somewhere. And I kind of remember bits and pieces. But I don't really, you know what I'm doing. I can fake a nice ballroom dance with a baby that I can just pick up and not have to worry about. And so she loves doing Dream is a Wish. I pick her up. We dance around. And we go into the bedroom. And like the first time we did it, I went in there and I fell on the bed. And now that's like part of the whole thing. So every time she wants me to pick her up, dance around, we sing the song together, and then we fall onto the bed. And now usually she pulls the covers up on herself and we'll snuggle a little bit, and then she'll want to get up and go do something else. But actually today, I could have sworn this kid was going to go down for a nap at like 11 o'clock. Well, I didn't get her down until about 2:30. And most of that time, I was just letting her go because it was clear that she was not going to let me hold her or anything like that. But I was holding her for a little bit, playing video games, which is kind of the thing that helped settle her down. And then I checked her, and she needed a diaper change. And so we went into the other room, and I changed her. And, like, on her changing table, she's, like, falling asleep, which has happened a couple times. So I got the diaper on her, and I was like, do you want to sleep in Mommy and Daddy's bed, or do you want me to put you in your crib, or what do you want to do? And she was like, wish is a heart. And that's her word for dream is a wish. And I was like, okay. And so I picked her up, and we did a little dance, and then I very slowly kind of fell into the bed. And probably after about 2 minutes, she was out. She had pulled the covers up, which she calls blanket, pulled the blanket up, and kind of wrapped herself, moved over a couple times, shifted her feet a bunch. And you can really tell when this kid falls asleep. I think I mentioned this last week, because it's like somebody flips a switch, and she just powers down. And her breathing gets very heavy. And, you know, she stops moving, and you can kind of see her whole body kind of like decompress, and she's out. So I'm glad she finally fell asleep. It's probably going to mess with my plans to go to the grocery store, which isn't such a big deal because I don't really have a plan yet. I really have a hard time putting together menus in the summer because it's so hot and we have such a small kitchen, and I really don't like heating the whole place up. And if you happen to make something that gets, you know, not burned, but warm and smoky, it can really like stink up the house. And then my wife comes home, and it's one thing when you're kind of in it while you're cooking and that's bad, but like when you come into it and it's already hot outside and you come in and it's like kind of like smoky and burnt meat smelling, that's no fun. So I try to keep it light, I try to keep it simple also, you know, few pans, not a lot of time where I'm standing in front of the oven, but it just doesn't always work out. It's supposed to be a little cooler. It was hot super hot all weekend, like in the 90s. And then we had a lot of rain this morning, but it was already up to like 82 just in the house a couple hours ago when I turned the air conditioning on, which I'm thankful it's not too hot, because otherwise I'd be sweating my face off right now while I record, which is not the case. I'm pretty comfortable still. But I mean, we've broken out like the fans and the ceiling fans on again and all this stuff, so we do pretty good at beating the heat. The air conditioning doesn't, thankfully, cost us too much, but it's pretty old, so I think we need to get it serviced pretty soon, just to make sure it's going to last for, you know, as long as we're here. You know, I wanted to mention one more thing in regards to television that I forgot to mention before, but I was dismayed to find out, I think it was last week, that Yo Gabba Gabba is no longer on Netflix Instant. I had turned it on to watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse Road Rally with Lucy, and as soon as I turned it on, she said, "Yo Gabba Gabba, Yo Gabba Gabba," and I went to find it. And it wasn't there. It wasn't in my recently watched. So I was like, oh, maybe something happened. So I searched for it, and it's not there anymore. Of course, you can still rent it through Netflix. But that did not leave me with a very happy baby. Were you bummed out that there's no more Yo Gabba Gabba? No more Gabba. And I know that, you know, those contracts are crazy and it things happen. Bubbles? Oh, Clubhouse. Yeah, there's Mickey on that coloring book.
Look at Disney World.
It's Disney World, yeah. You like Disney World?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look,
a microphone. Can you say hi? As you can tell, I'm now joined by my sometimes co-host, Lucy Deitch, who makes the title of this podcast obsolete at times. Peter Pan is on. I've turned the volume down, so hopefully I will not get sued by Disney for having incidental music or dialogue on this podcast. But she is still watching it and knows it quite well. For the record, podcast listeners, she said, "Wendy, look," before Wendy even walked in the room. Then her shadow appeared, and then she appeared. So Lucy knows Peter Pan pretty well. We've watched this movie probably a few dozen times. Not always till the end, but... Yes, his shirt is colored on, huh? It's a treasure map. But this movie's only like 77 minutes long, so usually we get through to the end. Which means that, of course, we always... Yeah, it's Totoro. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, okay? Anyway, back to the Netflix thing. You know, I know there's all kinds of contracts and things come up and things need to be removed from Instant. It just would have been nice... to maybe get an email or a text saying, "Hey, we know you're watching Yo Gabba Gabba, which means you probably have a kid. It's going to be off of Instant on this date." I know that's probably not built into their system as of now, because I've never received anything like that. I'm just saying it would be kind of nice, especially for kids programming. But anyway, as Lucy kind of segued for me a moment ago, I'm going to do kind of a combination Pop Papa Seal of Approval, Pop Papa of the Week, and movie review right now for My Neighbor Totoro. Now, I'm on a bunch of email lists for PR people. They'll ask me if I want to review books and movies and things like that. And it's great. I don't know why I'm on there. I don't know if it's for writing for Spinoff, which is, you know, clearly an entertainment thing, or writing for CBR or what. But I never accept anything under the auspices of reviewing it for those places, unless that's already set up. Otherwise, it's just on my blog, and I don't know if that's actually worth sending me, you know, a DVD or anything for how many people read it, but hopefully, you know, my readership and listenership here on the podcast is going up, so it'll get earned eventually. So My Neighbor Totoro was directed and created by a guy named Hayao Miyazaki. And this is the guy who started Studio Ghibli, or Ghibli, I don't really know how to pronounce it, G-H-I-B-L-I. And they do movies, you know, Totoro's one that's from 1988. They did Spirited Away and Kiki's Delivery Service, I think, and Princess Mononoke, and all these movies that I've heard about for years but have never seen. Well, Disney just put out a new version of the Blu-ray. Now, the movie was dubbed in the mid-2000s with Tim Daly as the dad and then Dakota and Ellie Fanning, gosh, already several years old at this point, and they're growing into actual humans, adults. But the idea is that the dad is moving to a country village with his two kids. Peter Pan's not even on screen. You might be starting to get an idea of why I record while she naps. Yep, look, there he is. I'm talking about Totoro. There's Peter Pan.
Hey, it's a furnace.
Putting his shadow back.
Shadow back.
I'm going to finish this after she takes a nap. All right, in the time of the last few seconds, I tried to get Lucy to go down for a nap. Failed. Went to the grocery store where she screamed at me, kicked me in the crotch, almost sending me to my knees, and we walked out with all of our groceries. Then we came back here and spent another hour trying to get her to calm down enough so that she would fall asleep. All so that I could finally get back to recording the podcast, which is going to be late now. But I still wanted to talk about the combined movie review / Pop Pop of the Week / Pop Pop a Seal of Approval for the movie My Neighbor Totoro. As I was saying before, this is a Hayao Miyazaki movie. Miyazaki's a guy that I've heard a ton about over the years, but never actually seen any of his movies. So when I got a PR email asking if I wanted to review one of them, I said sure. There was a couple that have just been released by Disney on Blu-ray, and I wound up getting My Neighbor Totoro. As I mentioned earlier in the show, this was a battle to get Lucy to watch, but after about 10 minutes, she was totally in. The story revolves around a father who's moving to the country with his two daughters. One's probably 10-ish, the other one's like 5 or 6. The older one is in school, the younger one is not. The house they move into has these things, I forget the exact name of them, but they're basically like soot sprites. And the old woman, who is their babysitter and neighbor, informs them that the soot sprites live in old houses that are abandoned, but when new people move in, they talk it over, decide if the new inhabitants are good or not, and then will either stay and, I guess, scare you away or something, or leave so that you can live there. Now, this really doesn't have anything to do with the rest of the movie, aside from the fact that it sets up that this is a mystical, fantastical world that these characters are living in, and it establishes how the father interacts with his kids. You know, kids run around and say all kinds of crazy stuff anyway. The house is haunted, the house has sprites, these kinds of things. He believes it. He's actually a professor of archaeology, they say. And so he knows the legends, but it's never made clear if, you know, this is supposed to be the real world and we don't know that all these mystical things happen, or if it's just a world where mystical things happen and everybody knows it. I guess it doesn't really matter. I only think of it because I get kind of obsessed with, like, the workings of a world and what the people in it know and how it differs from ours, but it's not really the point. In fact, the movie is a little bit meandering, but not necessarily in a bad way. It's like they just started showing cameras on this family one day, and this is the crazy stuff that happened. It's not necessarily that there's a gigantic overarching story so much. The kids, we eventually find out, like well into the movie, do have a mother, and she's in the hospital. Now they go visit her. And the main thrust of action in the movie involves the hospital sending a telegram to the house, but the dad is at work at a university, so they've got to call, and then he's got to contact them, and it's basically this, like, misunderstanding where the girls think that the mom is super, super sick because she was supposed to come home that weekend and couldn't. And so at that point, they start freaking out and running all over the place. And this is the end of the movie. I mean, not spoilers or anything. I'm not going to get into that much detail, but the younger sister runs off. The older one's looking for him. The whole village is looking for him. And an element that I have not yet addressed, but it is in the title, is Totoro. Totoro is like this giant, poofy, not a cat. He doesn't really look like anything that you've seen, but if you see the picture, you probably recognize him, because this movie came out in 1988, and then it was just released again on Blu-ray. Blu-ray with the DVD and all the extra features and all that kind of stuff from Disney, and that's the review copy I got. I have not yet been able to really get into the special features, because Lucy likes to watch a movie and then move on to the next one. If we're lucky, we even finish it. I'm going to do a post on Pop Pop that gets more into the details of the film as well, and the special features and all that kind of stuff. But I do want to talk about the movie, because I enjoyed it. Lucy really loves it. And I think the main reason, kind of like I said before, is because she sees a young character in it doing stuff in a world that's kind of crazy and has adults and isn't super separated from real life, even though all these fantastical elements are coming in to play. But of course, it's also got giant poofy animals that she likes and littler poofy animals and kids running around, and it's a really beautiful movie. Like, so many of the backgrounds look like these really nice paintings, and it's very colorful and bright and loud. Totoro himself and this thing called Cat Bus, which you really kind of need to see to believe, but also the name says exactly what it is, are voiced by Frank Welker, who's, you know, one of the biggest longtime running voice guys around. He did Transformers. I think he's been Fred for the past 60 years. You know, he's still in it. He still does it. He's kind of a legend. So it's cool to have him there along with all these other people. So I really recommend the movie itself, because even though it's not necessarily how we Westerners are used to absorbing a story, it's there, and I think a young kid will enjoy it anyway, just on the basic level. But also, it's cool to kind of expose them to new things. So in that regard, I give the new Blu-ray / DVD combo pack of My Neighbor Totoro from Disney and Studio Ghibli, or Ghibli, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce it, the Pop Pop seal of approval. I also recommend just check this movie out. If you want to Netflix it. If you want to buy it, buy it. I think it's worth it. You know, if your kid winds up watching movies all the time like mine does, you know, you can always use something else. And this is such a, like, artistic without being too, like, artsy-fartsy movie that it gives adults a lot to look at and kind of figure out as you go. You just kind of see it, you experience it as it happens, and then at the end you kind of have all the pieces. But you're not given all the pieces right away, which is kind of cool. This segues into the Pop Pop of the Week, because I really liked the dad in this. His relationship with his daughter is really fantastic and solid, and he loves running around with them, and he doesn't talk down to them, even when they're talking about sprites and Totoros and gremlins and all this stuff. And he's like, oh yeah, it's probably a forest spirit and all this stuff. So he gets into it with them, and he's very comfortable with them. There's a bit of an awkward scene for us, I guess, where they're all bathing together in this giant bath that has, like, separate pots or whatever. I mean, it's a little disarming just because we're not used to seeing that kind of stuff, but there's nothing dirty about it. I mean, it's just a guy taking a bath with his kids, which is something we've all done. It's just a little shocking when you see it the first time. Not, you don't see any nudity or anything, but the scene itself kind of is a bit of a surprise. But he handles everything well. I mean, he's a good dad. He's trying to make everything right. And I mean, when you think about it, he's got a lot on his mind because, you know, his wife is sick. She's in the hospital and she's supposed to come home and she can't. And this has happened before we found out. So he's, in theory, got a ton on his mind that is probably weighing pretty heavily on him, and yet he is keeping his cool and being a great dad for his daughters, and for that, I think he gets the Pop Papa of the Week, so congrats. And Tim Daly does a great job. You've heard his voice before. It's actually kind of funny because he did Superman and Superman the Animated Series. Of course, he was also on Wings, and he's done a bunch of other stuff since then, but looking at the character the way he's drawn in the film, you can almost see him as being like a version of Superman with, like, goofier hair and just the thinned down, and the voice helps. It was just kind of a funny thing. Not Superman, I'm sorry, a version of Clark Kent. That makes more sense. Just kind of goofy and bumbling a little tiny bit, but just a real guy who's nice and trying to do the right thing for people. He just doesn't have superpowers that we know of. Alright, gang, I think I've taken up enough of your time, and this is already late, and I apologize for that. I am TJ Deech. I am signing off as the host of the Pop Papa Napcast, episode number 14. Thank you for listening. Head on over to poppapa.com to check out the show notes, where I get into a little bit more detail about where you can order the Blu-ray, and check out the Talkboy commercial that I found, and a few other things. If you do like the episode, please head on over to iTunes and leave a comment and some stars and some ratings. I'm not in the realm where I have advertisers, but, you know, maybe someday if things really start picking up. If you want to read more of my stuff, head on over to United Monkey, that's MONKEE.com. That is where I talk about pop culture, toys, comics, movies, all that kind of stuff. Or if you're interested in what I'm cooking these days, you know, I talked about the food and the grocery shopping. I write a blog called monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com. That's all one word, all together, no spaces. And that's where I write about the food that I cook and the food that we eat when we go out. And if you need even more me in your life, head on over to Twitter. I am at Papa Deech, P-O-P-P-A-D-I-E-T-S-C-H. All right, gang, have a good week.